Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and for those of you who have kids that are going to be going to college, you want to know how to prepare for this. This is an environment that most of us as parents really don't have a clue about unless we become informed. The kids in school don't have a clue about it, but my guest today, Dr. Debbie, well, she's going to be giving us, Dr. Debbie Yon is going to be giving us some real good insights, and you're not going to want to miss this. Dr. Debbie, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
Well, it's a delight to have you. College is such a challenge. When I have conversations with friends of mine who have kids who are 10 years old, and they're getting anxious about making preparation, and the child's only 10, for heaven's sake, you think, you've got to be kidding. Aren't you being a little ridiculous? I mean, after all, this is just college. But it isn't that way, is it? I mean, we really have to look at being prepared.
Well, that's why I have decided to take the focus of taking care of the parents, because I think when the parents do drop that kid off at college, the kid's going through an adjustment, but the parent is as well, because this generation of parents have been so involved with their kids most of the time.
That is so true. Now, I'd like my audience to know a little bit about you. You have a doctorate in counseling psychology from the University of Sarasota.
Yes.
You've got a master's degree in social work and a bachelor's degree in psychology.
Right.
You have been very much involved in working with families and, of course, individuals and couples as well. You've lived in different parts of the world.
Right.
You know, France and Saudi Arabia, China, and, you know, you've bounced around hither, thither, and yon. Why is it that you decided, with your kind of background, that you wanted to really get involved with families and the college scene?
Well, I guess it was, first of all, I recognized the challenges of being a parent of a college child when I had one of my own. And it was entertaining in hindsight when I look back at those first days when, you know, I went for the college look-see, and I was, you know, he was an only child, so I was, you know, just as anxious as the other parents because I was a super mom, and, you know, of course I wanted my kid to have this success. And so during his college experience, that's when I realized that, number one, it is a different kind of parenting. These kids need parenting, but it's a different kind of parenting. Because when they're younger, you pretty much just jump in and do things for them. Where in my counseling, I try to get parents of high school students, even as young in middle school, when they can start releasing some of the responsibility to the child, they need to start releasing it so that they can fly on their own one day. If we keep doing everything for them, you drop them off at college, they don't even know how to run a load of wash.
That is so true that it's not funny. Like you said, in the hindsight, you can go, oh, ho.
Oh, yeah, it's funny now. But
yeah. Johnny didn't even know how to tie his shoelaces, blah, blah, blah. Isn't that hysterical? They came out of passionate purple and they should have been white. You know, these experiences just with the laundry. Our society in general has evolved so dramatically into looking at young adults as children. I mean, I've encountered men and women who have 18-year-olds, and they still are treating them as if they can't even blow their nose. And it's beyond me, because it wasn't all that long ago when kids that were 18, they were already out there supporting themselves. They had to work. You know, it's just fascinating how our society has evolved to this. I mean, the term adolescent or teenager didn't even come into into vogue until the 1930s.
Right. I've been out to lunch with female friends, and they've been on the phone, you know, almost the entire time with their young adult students. And they're thinking for them instead of, and I think it's a shame because I actually think it's depriving them. It's taking away from them the experience that they need and actually that they want of being on their own. They have to make decisions, and sometimes they have to fail to figure out, you know, how to make a better decision the next time.
Oh, I agree. And the only way you're going to learn is by falling flat on your face.
I'm sure you did it then just like I did it. And you know what? You fall hard enough, you're not going to do it again.
Right. And you don't even need to criticize when they do it. All you have to do is say, okay, now what do you think you're supposed to be doing?
Absolutely. That's one of the things that I put in my parenting book is that sometimes parents jump in and want to solve the problem. And I think, first of all, you need to just listen because a lot of times that's all they want.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they get turned off a lot of times, because they really don't want you to micromanage their life. You know, they want it and they don't want it. But you just listen to them and then go over some options if they need some options of where they need to go to solve the problem, like go to your advisor or go to, you know, the housing office or whatever, and, you know, take care of it.
Absolutely. Your positioning of wanting to empower the parents,
right,
for this shift in life. I have to chuckle because when I think of this, because a very dear friend of mine, we watched her son grow. We've known her and her family for a while. And here he is. He's 18 years old. He's been in college now for a year. But he's one of these extremely bright, totally, thoroughly spoiled only child. Now, he's sent off to college, and they went through all kinds of fiascos with his college deal. If he had gotten accepted at Stanford, they would have bitten the bullet and paid for the bill, but he didn't get accepted at Stanford, so Dad said, well, this is the way to your son. You're going to pick a college that's close to home because we're not going to have time to take care of this, that, or the other. And what has evolved is that once he was out of the house and he was living on campus, his mother, it's a total role reversal. Where mother was always overly protective, when son just recently found that he could have an opportunity to work the summer through the college, Dad wanted him to come home so he could help with chores. Son said, Mom, please, I don't want to do that. I want to go to work. She looks at her husband. She said, let him go to work. I don't want him to come home. I'm enjoying him so much more that he's away.
It's just like that commercial that they have on TV when the son's packing up his car and the mom's already in there changing his room around.
I mean, the father was telling me this, and he said, in a million years, I would have never thought it would have been this way. But he said, Mom says, to heck with him. Let him work. Let him go.
I think that's a healthy mom, because I think in a lot of instances, you know, by us hanging on to them, we're giving them the message that they can't do this without us. And, you know, that's not a very good message to give, because if we've done our job and we've done it well, they leave home. And that's the whole idea, is they have everything they need, and then they leave home.
Absolutely. And then there's the side, let's talk a little bit about getting them ready to go to college, because you can force. I've known families that have said, gee, you're going to go to college, this is what you're going to do. And maybe the kid in signing up for college would be better off going to a junior college rather than a four-year college. What's your positioning on that?
Again, and I have an article that's on my website on this, because I think a lot of times kids are trying to please the parent. And I did community college. I did 2 years of community college because I left home when I was 17, and that was the cheapest way to get college, was to go to community college. And I got a great education. They have technical choices as well as academics, and it's so affordable that a kid can try different areas and they're not burning through all their college money.
Right.
And I think community college is a great idea, even for summers, when a kid goes away to a large university and you don't know what to do with them during the summer. Again, use your community college that's near your house and let them pick up some courses or a difficult course and get it behind them. But I fully support community colleges.
When a parent is trying to help a student, and I've heard so many people who are affiliated with colleges that will say to people, whatever you do, do not make the choice for the student. The student has to bear the responsibility because we are not their nursemates.
Right.
They are not going to be treated in college the way that they have been treated in high school. That is, you know, they're 18, usually when they get here, maybe older, but they are considered adults. We are not here to babysit them. Now, how can you assist a mom and a dad who just don't know that their baby, which really irritates me just to say it, but I'm saying it anyway because that's how some parents think, well, we've got to really watch over them. What are the no-nos?
Well, I think that, for example, we'll be in the therapist. I've got, you know, some kids that are on, you know, different kinds of medication. You know, it might be for medical reasons or, you know, sometimes they're on antidepressants or they're ADHD and they're on, you know, some ADHD meds. And the parent, you know, puts it out every day or makes sure they swallow it and practically sticks it on their tongue and
mm-hmm.
watches them swallow it. And I've seen parents do this up to the day before they leave to go to college. And, you know, I tell parents the year before, you need to let them take it or not take it. And they're like, but if he doesn't take it, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, then they have to suffer the consequences, and at least they do it when they're still at home, and you're there to at least monitor in some way, where when they're at school, they're not. I think we need to let them make more choices while they're still at home. And that way, when they fail, we can be there to just discuss it with them. They're not long distance because a lot of times kids, when they, you know, make bad decisions, when they're at school, they don't even know who to, you know, who is okay to talk to about it.
Mm-hmm.
Where when they're still at home, you know, when you're just kind of hanging out, you can find out some things. I think letting them do their own laundry, you know, during their junior and senior year, and just tell them to wash everything in cold water. That's one of my key advices to a newcomer for washing. Let them do it. Let them, you know, do some of these chores that they're going to have to do. How about writing a check or paying bills or learning about a debit card? Maybe give them their allowance on it and use a debit card so that they can start figuring out what it's like to be on a budget.
Yes, and they really should start that in junior high, to be perfectly frank, in my opinion, anyway.
I think so, too. I think middle school is my line is always be building your resume for college, and I think it actually starts when they're, you know, wee little, and you just have to start giving them appropriate responsibilities that teaches them everything that they need in order to be successful in life.
Oh, I think so. Because
and, you know, like you said, working is okay, and actually, kids like to work. And again, I think that, you know, we've got this generation of kids that really haven't gotten the experience of working. And in my book, I really promote, you know, if they don't need to work for financial reasons, then, you know, good for them. But then they should be doing volunteer work. But they need to be doing something of responsibility, so that they're, you know, giving back and not always taking.
Now, you address something that I find interesting, and that is, in today's world, a four-year degree is almost like a high school diploma.
Right.
Was, let's say, 30 years ago.
Right.
In today's world, there is that expectation, whether you're working for the hotel industry, the food industry, your, you know, law, medicine, whatever, your bachelor's degree is okay.
Right.
But you're expected to go on to do a master's, you know, to perhaps even go after a doctorate. We're looking at an investment in college that for the average parent could easily be $100,000.
Isn't that amazing?
And that's
but on top of that, the
away.
Credit card debt. And when you add the credit card debt on top of the school tuition debt, to me it is astounding. And this is going to follow the parent or the child, for a long time when you look at the interest rate. And I don't think it's necessary.
What would you recommend then to a parent? when they're sitting down, because most young people, they can deal with maybe $100, maybe not. I mean, I've seen people, young kids, wielding a $100 bill in McDonald's and not thinking anything of it. But here you've got something that is that much money, and you're looking at this. This is a huge, huge debt. That student may come out with a straight-A degree and be, you know, have a master's, and they can't get a job but anywhere at a fast food joint because there's no place for them.
Right.
How do you assist parents in understanding this, and also the student in understanding this, because this, they have a responsibility in knowing about this also?
Well, I promote sitting down. I call them business meetings with my son. Prior to going to school, he was involved in the discussion of the finances. And I don't know that all families do that. Just talking about, what I was going to be responsible for and what I held him responsible for, what his allowance would be. And I actually had to go back and up his allowance because I made it too tight. And, he was really struggling, but he was doing it. But I think that the child needs to have some financial, participation in the whole event. I promote having them earn their own pocket money, mm-hmm. because I think when it's their money, they think twice about spending it. When it's mom or dad's money, then it's not real. And there's all kinds of scams that kids, do with their parents. Like they put the whole pizza on the parent's credit card, and then they have all the kids give them cash. And this works out even with textbooks. They just, they'll do an extra textbook. And this way they're always getting cash. And they don't realize that this is adding up. But if it's very clear what they're responsible for, then they learn how to budget their own money. And it might be, some parents they want their children to have it, be totally free during these college years and not have that pressure. Well, if you don't teach a kid how to be financially responsible in college, they're going to have a lifetime of woe, because mm-hmm. they're going to be struggling if they can't manage money. Because these companies are sending credit cards out to these kids, and the interest rates are just compounding. And the kids don't really get it.
Well, now let me pose a question to you. These credit cards are given to the kids. If they have to be financially responsible for them and not the parent, why is it they're allowed to be given these credit cards?
I have no clue, because I'm not, I'm not a financial. I think once they're 18, I know my son was getting them. And I know, we cut them up. That was, as soon as they came in, those were cut up. It was not even a discussion. There was not going to be a credit card. What we did have was debit cards.
Mm-hmm.
Because a debit card has a beginning and an ending. When it is, when it's done, it's done. And you can't get any more money out of that machine. So if you give them their allowance, because that's the problem is budgeting, let's say for a whole month. They have a hard time with that. They spend it all in the first week or 2 weeks. Then they got to get through the rest of the month. Let them struggle on beans. Let them figure out how to do it so the next month they know how to, schedule their money out a little bit more.
Debbie, Dr. Deb, summers and the vacations. What do you recommend the parents do? Because you hear these horror stories about the partying in Florida and all kinds of things that go on. Kids can often get in trouble. Those that are working will take advantage of maybe working full-time during that period instead of part-time. But how can parents deal with that issue and let go of the concern? Many kids go home if they're close enough to home because they don't have a lot of money to spend.
That's
Nobody
right.
Nobody want to visit their friends. But I've got a friend whose daughter is going to school in New York. She lives in Oregon, and they provide the transportation, the plane fare, which is quite costly. But their daughter can only come home maybe once or twice a year. That's it. They're on a real strict budget. Fortunately, she got a scholarship or a few scholarships. So how do you deal with this? Because, again, we're talking about economics, the cost of the school, the cost of whatever you might be giving in allowance, and then the kids going to school on the East Coast and you're on the West Coast. How do we deal with this?
Well, and you know, that's such a multi-pronged question, because then there's the issue of the kids going to the partying places, and my line is, you know, it's okay to say no, you can't go, because to me that's not a good investment of your money. And I know they want a break, you know, because they've been studying or whatever, but they can go, they can have a volunteer experiences. There's all kinds of things that are available, you know, Habitat for Humanity, where you go, you know, even to a foreign country or into Appalachia, or do something productive with that period of time. And even, you know, if you can't afford to go home during the spring breaks, there are many programs. We need the kids to be more active on the activities that are available on campus. Every parent or every kid is paying for a student activities fee. And there is a lot available. And so the first place to look is what's going on campus. And there are a lot of volunteer experiences in many different ways, or internships, or language immersion, you know, just different things that would actually look good on your resume versus Cancun. Well, and I am just a big believer in working. And it, part of it probably comes from, you know, I worked, you know, from early on, and, you know, still am, and I enjoy it. And I think it's part of what, you know, made me successful, is because I always worked. And so I stress to kids to find a type of job that you can pick up during your breaks, you know, like a certain company that knows that you're a college kid that, you know, you can go back to during the summers. You can go back to during breaks or Christmas. You know, during the summers, if you're lined up with a resort or with a summer camp or something like that, then you have a built-in job and you don't, you know, have to start fresh every year. For those that don't need the money, then they should be looking for volunteer experiences, because that's going to help them. You can come out with a straight A average, but you better have something else on your resume that makes you look special.
That is so true, because just having a straight A anymore doesn't cut it.
Well, it doesn't really tell you if that person could come to work every day.
That's right.
That they can go to school every day, but it really doesn't tell you that they can go to work every day, because that is a little bit different.
Well, that is such a good point. Because many times there are those students that maybe are like C students, but they have been involved, like you said, in maybe working part-time or have given their volunteer time to special groups, and they've been known by people. And there's so much in the working world today that people are evaluating that wasn't that big a deal before.
The biggest problem with in the workplace is getting along with people.
Mm-hmm.
So the straight A doesn't tell you if that person can get along with people. So, you know, a kid with a B or C average that can get along with people might do better than the straight A.
Mm-hmm. It's a fascinating perspective. So with parents, when they're looking at their high school students, or if you've got kids that are younger, those of you that are in the audience listening, when you say, gee, I want my kid to go to college, that's a wonderful aspiration for them. But just like what we've said, there are options. There are technical schools. There are all kinds of opportunities. And when you're dealing with the economics, you need to have integrity with your kids in talking about that. And holding them responsible for teaching them good habits when they're young is very important. How is it that a parent can feel good about their young person's safety? We hear horror stories. They're in the minority, but they happen on the campuses. What can parents do to deal with fears, and what can the parents do with the young adults so that they use good common sense? Because it is that many, many times that avoids a problem.
Right. Well, I think it's common sense as much as it's also taking care of each other, because I think a lot of times, and again, this is what we role model in the family, is, you know, you take care of the village. You know, when you when you see something that's not right, you don't just keep walking. You might, you know, do something about it, whether it's, you know, reporting the, you know, if a person's acting unusual or if there's an unusual kind of activity. Because the college campuses, no matter, you know, with all of this that's going on, they're still quite safe, which, mm-hmm. you know, is amazing. But they really are. But, you know, as a parent, you know, it's scary because we're letting go of our babies, and then we have all this crazy stuff that's going on. So I would say role model in the family, you know, social responsibility, because that's where, you know, a lot of this starts. And, I think kids should travel in groups. Kids should, you know, be aware of, you know, when you're drinking, and, you know, kids drink when they're in college, that, you know, there is a safety issue that goes along with that. That's when things happen. And this means talking, communicating.
Absolutely. I think something that some friends of mine have done, because their daughter was off in college and she was invited to her roommate's family's home. And what she found is that this opened up a whole new world of experience for her, for the young woman, because her social skills were not up to par. And after having the experience of visiting this friend's family, and many times that's what happens. There are families that are closer to the college, and you make friends with that young family member, and you have a chance to learn about interaction with others. You learn about different social environments, and that's one of the wonderful things that college does offer.
It's I think the academics sometimes might be secondary. It's mm-hmm. all the other stuff that you learn. I mean, I would love to go back and be a college student. I mean, obviously, I went all the way to the doctorates because I love going to school. But I think it's just a fantastic environment. It's a neat time in their life. And it's just, you know, I celebrate it. And I think we've got a great generation.
Mm-hmm. I think so, because what I found with most young people, that they have frequently, because of what we have in communication today, a broader expectation. They're more open to questionings of just all kinds of things. And I think this is healthy, because the world that they are facing is a very different world from the one that their parents faced.
Oh, the amount of information that they have is just, you know, it's astounding.
It really is. Now, Dr. Debbie, where can people go to find out about, you've got more than one publication that has come out,
right.
And I have to mention your husband also, whose name is Winston Churchill, and I was surprised when I got the email from you that you said, Donna, he's actually related to Winston Churchill.
Yes, he is.
That was wonderful.
Well, he didn't, I've known him since I was in elementary school, and he used to try to stay away from the name, and he just found out recently within the past year when the Churchill organization contacted him to do a DNA test that, lo and behold, he's actually related to Winston Churchill.
Amazing.
Yeah, so, and we did a leadership book which for college kids, because he and I speak together on leadership. And so we have spoken to college kids about leadership, because we think it's such an important piece right now, because we've had amazing leaders in the past. And when you look at the politics right now, you might be wondering, you know, who are their role models for good leaders?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's when we decided to do something using Winston Churchill quotes and stories and lessons. So that's our leadership secrets for college students. And all my books you can find on my website, which is collegeworks101.com.
That's collegeworks101.com.
Absolutely.
And
there's lots of articles on there, a lot of things that we've talked about. And there's a monthly newsletter, and I'm just here for the parents, and I think that we've got a great generation, and I want to see I want to see them succeed, but I also want the parents to enjoy this experience as much as their kids are.
Well, Dr. Debbie Yon has been my guest. I hope we've given you a little bit of insight into how to prepare those young people for college and how to be prepared yourself. Go visit her website. And you will find collegeworks101.com is a website, but go in there and check it out. It won't hurt, and by golly, you'll be prepared not only to make your life easier, but also to make it easier for that young person that's going to be getting ready to take that big step in adulthood towards becoming the total person on so many levels that you really want them to be. Dr. Debbie Hahn, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, and thanks to your audience.
And you have a continuously wonderful time there in Mexico.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break for a moment. Don't you go anywhere right now. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Dr. Richard Petty, the author of Healing, Meaning, and Purpose, and creator of the RichardGPettyND.com website. I am thrilled and delighted to tell you that starting February 7th, 2008, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining my friend Donna Sebo on her show on bbsradio.com. We're going to do this every month, and I can guarantee you that we're going to be sharing new information and new concepts that will astonish and inspire you. Hello, this is Dr. Richard Petty, the author of Healing, Meaning, and Purpose, and creator of the RichardGPettyND.com website. I am thrilled and delighted to tell you that starting February 7th, 2008, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining my friend Donna Sebo on her show on bbsradio.com. We're going to do this every month, and I can guarantee you that we're going to be sharing new information and new concepts that will astonish and inspire you.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast, with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Well, telephone lines are now open, 877-876-5227 for those of you in the U.S. If you're a first-time listener to the Donna Sebo Show, I'm so delighted you've joined us, and you can just call in. All I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then after that, then let me give you my insights, and you're welcome then to have a question after I chat with you. And also, Canadians, 888-815-9756, and our direct line of 530-876-3222. Let's go to our first caller today. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Donna.
Hi, first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
E from Lakewood.
I'm sorry, dear, I could not hear you. Your voice is so soft.
E from Lakewood.
Okay, I heard the Lakewood, so I'll just have to assume that I can get it, because your voice, it was either T or P, and I'm not sure.
Oh, it's Elaine.
Elaine, okay. Boy, was I off base with that one. Okay, Elaine, the first thing that I'm looking at with you is I'm having to pause for a moment, because the word thoughtful is coming through, but also what is in my perception is I want to initiate an action, but I really think I ought to sit on initiating that action for a while. It's as if it's too soon to make the move. I don't have everything that I need to be able to get the right amount of information that I want. It's sort of like going out and buying a car. Well, a car, any car can be transportation, but maybe you have special needs. Maybe you need something like an SUV because you're doing a lot of shows, you know, trade shows or something like this, and you need something to transport things in. Or maybe a truck would be better for you. And, of course, that's just an example I'm giving. Or maybe you're a person that you're driving a lot and you're interested in a hybrid for fuel efficiency. So a car is a car, but and it's got four wheels on it, and you could get one that'll just get you from point A to point B, but again, you may have specifics. So before you buy one, you want to know what your needs are, and you want to know exactly what it is that you are going to judge your decision by. In other words, you're going to have to get as much information as possible. And you'll probably weed out a lot of what you don't want first until you get down to maybe the five choices that would be worked on by you to really get all of the particulars that you want. So I use that as an example. Whatever it is that you are desiring to make a decision about, you are correct in being cautious. You are correct in being hesitant. Trust yourself. Go for what it is you need to know so that you then can make the choice that you want to make feeling like you've done your homework appropriately. So that is very important for you. Also, there are some travel plans that are going to be coming up. You've had an awareness that this would potentially occur, but it's as if it's been off in the distance for a while and you didn't really have to think about it too much. But time is getting closer and closer and you're saying, wow, it really looks like I am going to be doing some traveling and I have enough money to be able to do it? And I would say, yes, you will. But start your planning now. Don't wait till the last minute. And economics are going to be stable. Do you have a question for me, Elaine?
Yes. In fact, I was calling you about the traveling I'm going to be doing. Because I called you about 2 months ago. My daughter and I were planning a trip to Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And you advised me to educate myself and be smart about it and maybe have guides and get my immunization. And thanks to you, I started checking into all these things. And so now I've done the preparation for the trip. But it was a lot of planning, and I didn't realize it until you gave me that great advice.
Well, thank you.
Yes, I wanted to tell you thank you. You were exactly right.
Well, apparently something else is coming up.
Wow.
Some other trip is coming up. When are you supposed to leave for Africa?
We're going to Victoria Falls near Zimbabwe and then to Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to leave Wednesday. Tomorrow. I leave Wednesday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so... Does it look like a good trip now?
Well, I think you're going to have a very good trip. I would want you to be prepared. You may need to have some extra capital. And if you have to exchange money while you're over there, which would not be a surprise, or if you're going to be using credit cards, depending on who you're with, if you've got a good tour group that you're with or a good guide that you're with. They pretty much should handle things appropriately. But I would say be prepared. You may need more money than you expect.
Okay.
And I'd rather be on the safe side. You don't want to flash your money at all, but you want to be sure that either you have, you know, if you get traveler's checks, can you cash them, you know, where you can cash them. But that's what I would check on and make sure you have a little bit extra.
Okay, that's probably good advice.
And then make sure that you have something that you can wear under your clothing, like a money belt or whatever. And if you talk to someone that's really experienced in that arena, they will tell you how to work with the money so that you will be able to enjoy your trip not concerned about being exposed to unsavory characters.
Okay.
And the reason I suggest that, when we were in Russia, and this was back in 1992, so there's a lot of things that have changed, but I remember then that we were told, whatever you do, don't show a roll of cash, because we had to take cash with us. They said, we will make arrangements for different things, and if you need cash, talk to us, and we will do the exchange for you to make sure that everything is on the up and up. Also, we were made aware of gypsies, and I just share this experience with you because that's what we went through. And we were advised by the guides that we had for that trip, and we traveled to a number of different places. We went to Kiev, we went to Minsk, we went to St. Petersburg, and we were advised about this in each area to make sure that if we had a fanny pack, to keep it in front of us, not on our back hip, so that it was right there where we had our hands on, and to be aware that sometimes bags could be sliced by someone, dependent on the environment you were in. So you wanted to be thoughtful about how you carried your things. And if there were gypsies or pickpockets, and they were just notorious in Moscow at the time, it was just unreal, St. Petersburg too. So they would just tell you if they just be aware and be savvy here, and if you have any problems, then let us know. And we really had an enjoyable trip, but we saw a number of things that went on, and then we had some fellow travelers that had traveled through Europe that had certain experiences that shared their experiences with us, and it was wonderful because we had an awareness of what to pay attention to, and we listened, and that's very important. When people tell you to be aware of something, listen.
Okay. I know another time when I went to Croatia, you told me to be aware of pickpockets. And when we were in Split, they were all around us, but I wouldn't have been aware of it if you hadn't said that.
Mm-hmm. There are just things that when you've been around people, whenever you've been around people that travel, and if they share that with you, things that you're aware of, don't hesitate to ask them. You know, if you've been to this place before, but I think you've got a marvelous adventure. Be sure you have plenty of, you know, whatever you need with your digital camera to take with you so you can take lots and lots and lots and lots of pictures because it'll be just a trip of a lifetime.
Okay, great. Well, I always listen to what you say because you're always right.
Oh, well, bless you. I'm not. That is such a sweet remark to make. Thank you so much, Elaine.
Thank you,
You'll
Donna.
Have to call me and let me know how that trip goes.
I will.
All right, dear. Take
okay.
care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Give me a buzz if you'd like to call 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. By the way, for those of you that are in the state of Washington, that class of mine is coming up this Saturday. Oh, I'm just looking forward to it so much. We are going to be able to jumpstart your personal vision, help you with your intuitive skills, get involved with problem solving, and that will enable you to clarify your perspectives, your objectives, and what you may consider your life's purpose at this time. So this interactive seminar is going to be coming up this Saturday, April the 19th. It's going to be starting at 10 a.m. in the morning, going on until 2 in the afternoon. So it'll leave you plenty of time to have fun in the sun if it shines in Washington on that day. And it's going to be held at the Center for Spiritual Living, which is 206 North J Street in Tacoma, Washington. The cost for the class is $89. That will include a lunch. Again, $89, including a lunch. Reservations are going to be requested so we know how much food's going to be needed. That's 253-383-3151. 253-383-3151. And part of the proceeds of this class will be going towards the restoration of the building for the Center for Spiritual Living. This is a historical building. It turned 100 years of age this year. It's got stained glass in it and all kinds of old wood. It's really quite an interesting building here. So we'd like to welcome you with beauty, style, and greatness from the inside out. Won't you come along? I'd love to have you. Again, Center for Spiritual Living, 10 a.m. to 2, for Mental Ecology. That is the name of the class, Mental Ecology, Beauty, Style, and Greatness from the Inside Out. Donna Sebo here. If you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of insight, give me a buzz. I would be delighted to do that. You know, there's so much excitement about the Olympics in Beijing, and I know there's all kinds of controversy. But whenever you have an opportunity to go to a different country, I really think it's important to try to be aware as much as you can of the cultural differences. The Chinese are such an industrious people. They really, really are. And their history as a nation is phenomenal. I mean, they are one of the oldest cultures on this planet, and they have evolved through so many variables. It's incredible when you get into the study of their history. Now, there are some tips for working in China or traveling in China, and I thought I would share a few bits of information with you because of that. That, again, they have the world's oldest continuous civilization. Now, to the best of our knowledge, it's a little bit over 4,000 years, could be a lot more than that, I'm just not aware of it, of recorded history. And Beijing, where the Olympics are going to be taking place, has been the capital of China for over 800 years, and that is the country's hub, politically, economically, and culturally. Now, there's been all kinds of dynasties throughout the thousands of years that they've been there, and there are so many things that the Chinese achieved long before the Europeans came into the picture. I mean, they were in the Dark Ages for so long, it was unbelievable. And the Chinese, their art, their printing, gunpowder, they had a compass, they had movable type, they had all kinds of things that were introduced in part, partially, by people that managed to get over to the country and brought it back in to the European environment. There's been a lot of changes politically over the centuries, and we're all aware about the People's Republic of China. Now, many, many Chinese speak English, but one of the things that you must remember when you're visiting there is that you have to have a lot of patience. And the Chinese are very, very astute. If you are very impatient, they will sort of ignore you. So try to take the time, if you're going to have the opportunity to visit that phenomenal country, take the time again to find out about them. Now, there are so many different things culturally that will just amaze you. We had some friends that were in China just a few months ago, and they were just stunned by the shifts and changes that have evolved because of the economic boom that China is experiencing at this time. And they said, though you wouldn't find public restrooms like you do here in the United States in a lot of places, they very quickly are catching up with many of the things that we in the United States have taken for granted for so many years. They now are doing it there. They said the art is just absolutely phenomenal. The food is phenomenal. You do have to be aware of sanitation and be very thoughtful. If you're going to buy any food on the street, make sure that it is cooked food, that it is cooked food and it's cooked thoroughly. Whatever you do, don't drink the water. We had someone that went and visited China, and they found to their dismay that they kept getting severe discomfort that they called Montezuma's revenge in Mexico. But they kept getting it, and they couldn't understand what it was. Well, when they were in China visiting, they found that the weather was so hot that they were getting popsicles. Well, the water was not sterilized water. The water was from anywhere and everywhere, and they were getting sick as they could be. And the person Paul happened to meet two Englishmen that traveled in China frequently, and they noticed that his facial color was a little queer. And they said, well, you really should tell us what it is you've been eating and drinking. And he said, well, I have been so sick, I haven't been able to eat much, but I have these popsicles. They said, that's what's making you sick, is the popsicles. So be aware. Talk to people at the hotels, what they recommend, or better yet, talk to your travel agent if you're making plans, and really find out what you need to pay attention to and what you need to be aware of. You know, our caller Elaine that was just on with us, these are things often when you are going into a country for the first time, you don't really have an awareness of what's going on. So do be aware that there are many, many things that, again, we take for granted here that you're not going to find over there. So just, you know, just be wise here. Now, you need to be aware that there are different types of attitudes regarding entertaining people, protocol. The Chinese nod or bow slightly when they greet another person. Although handshakes are common, you need to wait if you meet a Chinese you're associated with some people there, find out what their protocol is. Find out what they find acceptable, because it may be offensive if you extend your hand first. Also, if you go to visit a factory, a theater, or a school, often applause is used as a sign of welcoming you. And what you're supposed to do is to give applause back. And introductions usually are very formal, with courtesy rather than familiarity. And again, these are things that are just, you know, just little things that we don't think of. And I had to chuckle because there is a lady that I've had on my show every once in a while regarding etiquette. And she said when she went to China, she wasn't aware that it was proper for you to hold the bowl of rice when you're eating close to your mouth and scoop it in. She said, boy, would my teenage son have had a great time knowing that his mother was slurping and that was dinner, because that's considered courtesy. And it's just, there's just different things that go on. So if you have the opportunity to go to Beijing, or you're going to be going to Africa like a caller, be aware. There are certain things that you do need to note, and it doesn't hurt to talk to some people that have gone before you and are very, very much aware of it. That goes for business, too. And there's a wonderful book called Kiss, Bow, or Shake Hands by Terry Morrison and Wayne Conaway that I would recommend because it is just loaded with it. You travel the world, this is a book must-have in your library. Well, I know we're out of time. Gee whiz, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, remember always you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. So many wonderful experiences in life, step up to the plate. Enjoy them. They're there for you to experience, for you to grow, to be a part of this wonderful world that we live in, to be an extension of the finest and the best, which I know you are. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about if nobody loves you, create the demand. You're not going to want to miss Joel Freeman. He's a doll. We'll be talking with you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.